News Talk Breakfast. In association with AIR. Seamless connections with Ireland's number one broadband provider.
Now, on to what we have also been talking about for the last number of days on the programme, the removal of teachers from the vaccine priority queue, which is, of course, causing consternation at the Congress of the Teaching Unions this week. Norma Foley has said that the vaccine priority queue is driven by science and will not be changing. And to discuss whether or not she is right, I'm joined now by Donacha O'Leary, Sinn Féin TD and health spokesperson, and Michael McNamara, independent TD for Clare. Donacha, can I come to you first of all? Norma Foley says she's not for moving on this one and the government is not for moving. Are they right?
No, I don't believe that they are. Like, I mean, I think first of all, the thing that needs to be said is the fact that this was made, decision was made without consultation is incredible. There were very fraught negotiations to ensure that not only education, obviously there's a focus on that this week, but like, I mean, this is a broader issue in terms of frontline workers, but there were very difficult negotiations in terms of people returning to the workplace, in schools, in childcare, in public transport, among the Gardaí. And those negotiations were ultimately successful, but this was one of the very significant considerations that was made. So I think commitments were made. They have now been broken. And I think it was very wrong to blindside workers. It should never have been just flatly presented to workers as a done deal without consultation, a unilateral decision. And obviously, that is very provocative. And I think it has frustrated workers in education, yes, which is the focus this week, but also in those other sectors, in childcare, where cases are quite high, in the Gardaí, who are at the front line of dealing with mandatory quarantine, and in public transport, which is also a very challenging sector. So in my view, what should be happening now is that the government should be now going back and talking to those representatives of those organisations. I don't think we necessarily need to go exactly back to what was the prioritisation on Tuesday, but is there scope somewhere between the prioritisation that was announced late last week and the previous prioritisation? I think that there potentially is, yes.
I am confused, Donacha, because I have heard your own party leader, Mary Lou MacDonald, say on numerous occasions what the government needs to do is to follow expert advice, to follow public health guidelines. And expert advice is that based on age, that is the fastest, the safest, the lowest risk way of rolling out this vaccine. So why would we throw it out in this instance? I can't understand exactly why you would be against doing what is evidence-based and best practice.
Well, like, I mean, I think to be fair, what has been identified by NIAC, and rightly, is that age is the biggest determinant of serious illness and hospitalisation. They've also identified that it is a very quick way of achieving this.
So lowest risk and quickest, and you're against it. Why?
Well, like, I mean, I suppose what government has also done, though, is it has identified priorities within society. So it is clearly the case that we want to keep things like schools going, that we want to keep things like childcare going, that we want to see public transport continuing, and that these are priorities for us as a society. So what I think should be the case is that we should be organising a system that is primarily age-based as the primary determinant, but also has a component of prioritisation for workers that are essential. That was contained in the previous prioritisation. It has been the case elsewhere. I don't believe that there's any reason that it isn't possible here, except for the fact that I suppose the government's vaccination programme so far has been blighted with difficulties and failures in terms of GPs not getting the full consignment.
Well, in fairness, it's mostly been supply issues. Let me bring Michael McNamara.
I don't think that's necessarily the case.
Let me bring Michael McNamara in, independent TD for Clare. Michael, you've heard what Donacha says, that he accepts that age is the greatest risk factor and what NIAC has said, but yet still wants the teachers prioritised separately to those groups. What's your view?
Well, I mean, I agree with the general principle that if you have a scarce resource, you allocate it where it's most needed. I mean, we know that vaccines are most needed with the elderly and people with an underlying health condition, because the vast majority of people who have contracted COVID-19 in Ireland are young people. The vast majority of people who've died have been elderly people. So we know that they're disproportionately affected. They need the vaccine more. They should get it. That said, I mean, I don't agree with the government having effectively led the teaching unions up the garden path. I mean, the approach has been, oh, you want vaccine? Well, take it. We've no idea where we'll get it, but take it. You want money? Oh, yeah. Take it. We've no idea how future generations will pay the money back, but take it. So, I mean, that's been the government's approach to governing up to now and this during this crisis. I do have sympathy for the teaching union's position because they've been misled. But ultimately, if this is down to vaccines and allocation of it, well, it seems clear to me they should go where they're most needed, and they're most needed among people with an underlying health condition or based on age or a combination of the two, but you know, according to health priorities rather than who the government have made promises to, because frankly they've made promises to everybody at this stage and they're not going to be able to catch.
Do you think populism is holding sway here in this instance, Michael? Is that what you think this is about?
Well, I mean, I'm not accusing Donegal of populism. I think right across the political divide, I mean, our reaction to this has been, let's promise everything to anybody who wants to obtain a promise, and sure, we'll worry about delivering on that promise later. I mean, you know, I do think that we need to start. I mean, part of the problem here is that the levels of hysteria that have been generated in this country about COVID-19, yes, it is a serious illness. It poses a particular threat to a particular cohort of society, the elderly and those with an underlying condition. For the vast majority of society, it doesn't pose the same level of threat. It is, of course, highly infectious, so that when a lot of people get together, there's a real risk of health systems being overrun. But, I mean, it isn't the bubonic plague, yet the government have intentionally created that impression. I mean, we've had Project Fear, and in those circumstances, it was understandable that teachers, I mean, I had young, healthy teachers writing to me after Christmas saying they were afraid to go back into schools, and that fear was real, and one has to have sympathy for them. But whether that fear was real based on sort of Project Fear that was being spewed out there, or whether it was fear based on the
medical risk. You've mentioned Project Fear now a couple of times, Michael. Do you believe that the government has engaged in the kind of rhetoric that it has in order to encourage compliance? I mean, you're quite right that people under the age of, I mean, Norma Foley herself said that the 60 to 65 year olds out there in the working population are 70 times more likely to die as a result of COVID-19 than those in the age group 30 to 35. So that's multiple times. But that message hasn't been put out very widely. Is that not because when it suited the government to get the 30 to 35 year olds to stay at home, they sort of fudged that issue a little bit?
Oh, no, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it is. It was based on achieving compliance. But I mean, you know, the question is, how much are you prepared to bend the truth? How much are you prepared to bend normal societal rules in order to achieve one objective? Because this has been, country has been run for one objective for 12 months now, and that's the suppression of COVID. It's not the healthcare system more generally, because that's falling apart still as it was at the last election. It's not having an economy that can pay for the improvement of a healthcare system. It's solely about the suppression of COVID. And any society that's run for one thing and one thing only becomes a very unhealthy society, whether that's an Islamic Republic or any type of a fundamentalist society. But no, I accept that it's been that sort of has been put out there by the government to achieve compliance. But what I don't accept is that that's been necessary or proportionate.
Let's bring Dunica back in. Dunica, I mentioned that figure to Michael there. 60 to 65-year-olds are 70 times more likely to die as a result of COVID-19 than those aged 30 to 35. A third of teachers are under the age of 35. Should it be the case, is that your view, that somebody who is a teacher who is 28 should be vaccinated, because that's what the teaching unions are looking for, ahead of somebody who works in Aldi and could see, you know, I don't know, 100 people in a day at their checkout who could be 58 years of age? I mean, it is hard to follow what kind of rationale you're using for your position.
Well, no, I don't accept that that's necessarily the case at all, because one of the priority categories in terms of frontline workers that was being considered was people essential to the provision of food. Now, unfortunately,
so just to be clear, let me ask you. So, are you saying you want to prioritise teachers, retail workers, guards, a group of professions, not just teachers?
That was what was included in the original prioritisation, and I think we should be looking at what elements of that can be retained, and those who are most at risk to be protected, because there is a distinction. Yes, age is the primary determinant. That is not disputed.
Okay.
And it should be primarily and an age-based
prioritisation. Last question there for you.
But you have to take into account that not everyone of the same age is at the same risk. Teachers are 1.9 times more likely to contract the virus. Special school teachers
not
are 3
necessarily
times more
a more at risk of becoming critically ill, though. That is the key thing. Last question for you, though. What you're talking about has been clearly pointed out by NIAC to be slower, that the rollout based on age will be faster. So what you're talking about will slow down the vaccine rollout and indeed slow down the reopening of society. Are you happy that that is the consequence of what you're calling for?
No, I don't necessarily think that that will be the case. What I think should happen is the government goes to the organisations, the representatives of these workers, has a negotiations and then goes back to NIAC and says, look, these are the areas we want to keep functioning. We want to keep schools open. We want to keep childcare open. And in order to do that, we want to vaccinate. How can we work this? And how can we ensure that the vaccine rollout remains rapid?
All right.
Although it's far from rapid at the minute.
Thank you. Thank you for speaking to us this morning. That is Donnacha O'Leary there, Sinn Féin TD and health spokesperson, and Michael McNamara, independent TD for Clare.
Sorry, I'm compelled to pick up on very quickly on two points. Donnacha O'Leary says that the vaccine programme has been a failure. There is absolutely no evidence to back that up. There has been problems with the vaccine. We all know what they are. It is not accurate.
In fairness, we have never undertaken a national immunisation programme.
It's simply not accurate
ever.
To say that it has been a failure. There is clearly problems with supply. And I mean, for Michael McNamara to talk about Project Fear, I think that is stretching things. There's an argument about where we got the balance right. 4,727 people have died from COVID in this country. Project Fear, I think, is going too far to describe what has happened over the last year. I really do.